I want to continue with something that Marichen started sharing, I think 2 or 3 weeks ago. Who was in Marichen's sermon? Okay, most of you. I'll give a quick recap. If you didn't hear it, I would really recommend you to go and download it. And I was here, and I was privileged to be able to attend the whole service. I had some babysitters, and it was really fantastic. God really spoke into my heart. And really convicted me, and I really felt the need to respond to her sermon, which I did, and just God continued speaking to me about that. So I'm going to be speaking about that tonight. I said the sermon's title is Quiet Time, Secret Time. We don't always like to call it quiet time because it's not really quiet in the sense that we do it, but quiet time is the word that most people know, so Raina prefers to call it secret time. But I'm talking about our daily time with God. But I first just want to share something else. About probably 3 weeks ago, myself and Raina were talking about his day, talking about the church, talking about what's going on, and we say, okay, we need to pray for this person, we pray, and we talk, and it's like, okay, this is going on, and this is really going well, and this we really need to trust God for, etc. And we spoke for quite like 2 or 3 hours, and eventually, I found that my head was quite full, and there were so many things that I was thinking, and I was really getting into my mind, and actually getting confused as to what to pray and what to think. Has anyone ever had that experience? Okay, and so I wanted to pray, but then when I wanted to pray, my head was too full. Do you know what I mean? And I didn't actually know where to start. So I thought, okay, I said to God, Lord, in this season, what is the one thing, what is the one key for us as a church to walk in everything that you have for us? And of course, there always, I don't think there's ever just one key, but I was saying to God, show me the one thing I need to pray for now. What is the one thing? And God said to me, we need to be hungry. That's the one thing he said to me. So I felt relieved. One thing I can pray for that. And I said to God, so am I hungry? And he said to me, no, you're not hungry. Eek. Conviction. And I said to God, okay, why am I not hungry? And he said to me, you eat too much. Obviously, I'm speaking spiritually. And I said to him, so what is it that I eat? And he didn't really answer me. And I said, okay, so what should I do? And I felt God said I should fast. And for me, he said, 10 days. Anything on a screen and chocolates. we have a TV, but it's not connected, so we don't have TV at home, but there's a monitor, so we do watch DVDs, and we like BBC Planet and those things. But even that, and of course, Malaya has like 20 DVDs that she watches, but even not being connected to TV, just the things that I were watching, that I was watching was taking up too much of my time. And just screen time, you know, Facebook and all kinds of things that are not really beneficial. So I did that for 10 days, and it was really a good experience for me. And one of the pictures that I had, and I'm sorry it's quite graphic, but a few years ago I read an article about a procedure that they were trying to help people struggling with obesity. And what they actually did was they sewed their mouths shut with wire on the inside so that they could only drink with a straw, so that they couldn't actually eat. Of course, I think that really wouldn't work because I think if someone has such a problem, then that there's definitely a spiritual aspect to it which should be solved. But the visual that I had when I was praying this week, you know, on the one hand, like for me, I felt God convicting me that I was taking in too many things, that's taking up my hunger for him. And if I put those things aside, that I would be more hungry for him. And on the other hand, this picture that I had while I was praying was that some of us are like those people that have their mouths sewn shut. Where actually there's something there that's prohibiting us from eating, spiritually speaking. And I think what that feels like is just have no desire to read the Bible, no desire to pray, no desire to be in God's presence. And we will definitely pray for that later tonight. I want to ask a question. Who knows what prophetic obedience is? Okay, Stefan, what do you think it is? Okay, when God speaks something to you, to obey what he's saying, that's right. Esti, what do you think? Okay. Yeah, to not just in a word, but also in a specific season. So prophetic obedience is on different levels. Prophetic obedience is being obedient to that, what God is prophetically saying. Okay, we're going to be obedient to the word of God. That's obedience. To be obedient to the Great Commission, that's obedience, and that is obedience we should always have. We should always be obedient to the word. Prophetic obedience is where God, in a specific season, highlights something specifically, and we need to be obedient to that. So let me first ask before I use it as an example and give it away. Let's say 2 years ago, God was saying to the church, the prophetic message to us as a church was, we should pray and we should become better watchmen. So in that season, prophetic obedience is for each one of us to ask God, how do I grow in my capacity to pray, to go to intercession, to go where God shows you, to develop your own prayer life, as opposed to maybe saying, no, I'm going to focus all my time on outreach. Nothing wrong with outreach, and something we should also do, and even in that time. But when God says something prophetically in that season, then we need to also prioritize what God is saying. So who of you know what is the prophetic season for us as a church right now? What is God saying to us right now? Who knows? Quickly stand up. You don't have to be right. Who thinks they know? Okay. What do you think, Duncan? Subship, what do you think, Obi? Megan? Messenger? Danielle? Messenger, blessing? Okay. Esti? Okay. You guys all right? Marichen said it in her sermon. I said it in my sermon. And the previous one, and if you think back, you'll realize that, like the way Loki preached, the way Francois preached, just the last few words, say, of the last 2 months, what God is saying to us, and the thing about discipleship, God has been saying to us for the year. I wonder who remembers that. We said, what did we decide as a church to do this year? Disciple one person. So who is discipling one person? Okay, almost half. It's September. You've got October, November, about 2 months left. Pick your person. So that's definitely true. And more specifically now, it's the season of the messenger. Okay, God is speaking to us about reaching out, the messenger, evangelism. That doesn't mean that other things are not important. It doesn't mean we stop the other things. But it means for our prophetic obedience, we put a specific focus on what God is saying. Regardless of our specific gifting, we follow that, of course, as well. But we make sure to be doing that which God is saying. So how would one know what is the prophetic season? You hear it in the sermons. You hear it in intercession. And you read Fred's devotional when you get the Shofar newsletter. Okay, as a Shofar group, God leads us in a specific way. We're all moving together, actually, as a whole group. All the Shofar churches are not going each their own way. We're all going together. God speaks to Fred May. He's the head pastor. If you go read the previous devotional, its name is Lord of the Harvest. Okay, so God speaking about us being messengers. And then you would have seen that in the last few sermons. You definitely see that in intercession. Prophetic obedience and being prophetically obedient is also one of the reasons why it's important not to miss too much church, because then you miss the thread of what God is actually doing. I was thinking this week, we only have the one service on a Sunday, but when I was at Varsity, we had two services on a Sunday, and I decided just that we were going away one weekend, and one of my friends, I was planning to come back for the evening service, and one of my friends said, no, he's coming back for the morning service. Do I want to get a lift? And I said, no, I'm going to go to the evening service. It used to be two different services. And he said, no, I've made a commitment for this season of my life. Actually, he's still doing it, and that was 10 years ago. So he's made a commitment for life, probably. He said, if there's church, I'm going to go to church. And I remember I was a new Christian. I was only kind of a year saved. And I was so struck by that. I thought, we're going away for a weekend. We're paying all this money. We're driving quite far. And he's going to drive back for morning church, even when there's evening church. I thought that was pretty cool of me to come back for evening church. And I was so convicted that I did that since then. Always gone when there was morning and evening. Always went to both. And I cannot tell you what that has sown into my life. Those years when I wasn't in that church, which the Shofar Stellenbosch, which had the two services, what that has sown into my life. I made quite a few sacrifices. I missed half of quite a few weekends away. But what it's sown into my life, to have that word upon word upon word upon word, to drink in as God speaks and to stay in that river of what God is prophetically saying. You know, God has created us to be in a body. Otherwise, we don't need to be in a church. Otherwise, we could all be Christians by ourselves and have our own quiet time. But there's some things that God will not tell us by ourselves because he has made us to be in a church and to be in a body. And that's why some of the things he speaks to us, specifically in a body. Obviously, I think going parallel with the season of the messenger at the moment, God is definitely speaking to us about intimacy with him. And I think he's saying that because it doesn't help we go out to tell about the love of God when we're not in the love of God. You cannot share something that you don't have. You cannot tell of something you can, but it's not going to be believable. I always said that I found unbelievers to often be more discerning than believers. They tell that if you're telling the truth, they can tell if what you're saying is real to you or not. And that makes all the difference. So I believe that's why God's also showing those things simultaneously to us. And then I want to encourage us just with discipling one person. What is one of the key things we have in church that helps you to disciple someone? There's two key things, actually. Who knows? It's again, Esty Duncan and Kirby. Who else knows? Anna, Ilona, Monica, Marika. What do you say, Marika? Encounters. Okay, Monica, what were you going to say? Okay, encounters. Okay, so encounters, the real purpose of encounters is that we go and we take someone with. Sometimes people come to encounters by themselves, and that's fantastic. And we're so happy when people are so hungry for God that they find out about it or they get invited and they come by themselves. But really the way that encounters work is we take someone. So for probably 5 years, and in Stellenbosch encounters was every month. I just went every month to encounter one. Was I really behind and I really didn't get it? No. I had to repeat it like a million times? No. although I can say, every time I went, I learned something again from the same teachings, because the word of God is, you can read the same verse 1,000 times and God can show you something else every time. Speaking to your spirit. But I want to encourage us, as this is our disciple one person year, there is one encounter one at least left. You see, I don't think there's another encounter three and four. No, okay, but there's another encounter one and two. And I want to encourage us to ask God for that one person and to go with them, to take them there to encounter God. So I went to Fred's last devotional. And I remember that it was called the Lord of the Harvest, but I just wanted to see again in detail what he was saying. And I really want to encourage us to read his devotionals that you get in the newsletter. If you don't receive the Shofar newsletter, please send your name to Esty or just give it to her after the service quickly. And she can make sure that you get onto that mailing list. Fred's devotionals are sometimes hard to read. They're very long. And he uses very high language. I have on occasion had to look up what some of the words mean. No jokes. it's in Afrikaans and English, and still I had to look it up. But he is our leader, and the direction that God gives him is really pertinent to all of us. And I find it great to read his devotionals, and I never get to read it in one sitting because it's long and hard sometimes. So I read it over three or four, bit by bit. But it's always such a blessing, and it's always so pertinent to us. So as I was preparing for this for today, one of the things that, and you know, now God's speaking to me about us being hungry for Him, and I was thinking, just in my own life, saying to God, I really want to be a radical Christian. I don't think I am yet. Quite a bit to go, but I want to be. And I was just praying about this, and one of the things God said to me was, if you want to be a radical Christian, you must do radical things. Go figure. And I was really thinking about that, because sometimes I don't make that connection. I want to be a radical Christian, but I don't do anything radical. And it seems so obvious, but it just doesn't happen in my mind and in my life. So I said to God, okay, show me, which is, of course, a very dangerous thing to ask. And I've got something that is showing me, and myself and Raina are praying about it. But then I felt actually that God wants us to have opportunity for that tonight. We can maybe hand out the communion quickly. And I think actually for some of us, and it's perfectly fine if you don't want to be a radical Christian right now. God gives us that option. But if you want, then I believe if we ask God tonight, He'll give us something radical to do. So we're going to do communion. We're just going to celebrate the cross. But I felt that we should specifically ask God, check in your heart if you want to be a radical Christian, if you want to be. Ask God, what is something radical that I can do? And then we're going to, then obviously God will show us specific things. And then we can walk a bit of a journey. Maybe some of us are radical in the sense that when God shows it to you, you're just going to do it. That would be so great. Maybe some of us, like me, you first go, and then you have to really trust God and think about it and pray about it and say, I want to do it, but I don't want to do it, but I am going to do it. And that's also okay to walk that journey. But it starts with asking. And I was at intercession on Thursday, and the picture that God just showed me for us was, and I was praying for the church, He was showing me that I saw our hearts, and God was coming with rivers and rivers of living water. And He was flowing the water into our hearts. And our hearts, to me, in the vision, looked like a skin. I want to say balloon, but not really like a balloon, more like a skin. And as he was throwing the water, it was trying to go like this, but it was quite like hard. It didn't want to, you know, grow or expand. And I saw in the vision God was showing me that He wants to change this heart, and He wants to make it very flexible, so that when His water comes, it will be like, you know, like when you put water into a balloon, it goes like, it sags, it expands. And of course, just after I saw this, a scripture that came to mind was, if we have old wineskins and God puts the new wine into them, they will break. So God wants to give us new wineskins so that they can expand with the wine. And before the service, Esty just sent me some of the words that the guys were praying before the service as well. And it's the same thing that God was showing us. And I believe that we're on this journey where God has said to us, He wants to do big things, and we're on a journey of revival. And part of it is it needs to happen in our hearts. And one of the things is God wants to come and stretch our hearts. You know, His water is there. His rivers of living water is there. But can we hold it? And of course, it will always be too much. But are our hearts getting bigger and bigger to hold more and more of it? And as I was walking my own journey the last 3 weeks in asking these things of God and asking Him for something radical to do, what He said to me was, you will never increase your capacity until you do something beyond your capacity. Why should your capacity increase if you don't stretch it? So you will never become more radical if you don't do something radical. Your heart will not get bigger to hold more of God's water if you don't take a risk. You have to do something which you're not able to do. So you have to, the thing, for instance, that God is giving me to do, I have to do something that actually logically doesn't make sense. And, you know, hear me right, I'm not saying that you should do something illogical or destructive, you know what I mean? But what God is giving me to do is not something that I could explain to an unbeliever and say, oh no, the reason why I'm doing it, it's this and this and this, and it makes sense because of this. No, an unbeliever would say to me, you are crazy to do that. That makes no sense at all. Because God is asking me to do something that's beyond my capacity because he wants to stretch my capacity. And has everyone got communion? Has anyone been skipped? Okay, up there. And then can you, someone bring for me, please? Yeah. So let's all close our eyes. And I'm not even going to open my eyes. This is just for you, between you and God. I want you to just raise your hand and put it down again if you're saying tonight, and really if you don't want to, then don't. And I'm not even going to look. But just if you want to at this time, you want to say, I want to be a radical Christian, you indicate to God. You just put your hand and put it down again, or look up at God, or you just indicate to God that you want to go down this road. And then I'm going to pray for those of us who are responding. And, you know, God is gracious. He meets us where we're at tonight. So there's no condemnation and there's no striving. God is a good God, and he does things because it's for our good. He knows what is good for us. He loves his children. So some of us, God will meet us where we are. He'll see what is our capacity, and he'll give us something for us to stretch it. So, Father, I want to ask you now, in the name of Jesus, thank you that you speak to our hearts. And I pray right now that you show each person what is it. If each person that has purposed to take a radical step, show them, Lord, what it is that you want them to do. And just see what God shows you. And if you need to write it down, then write it down. Father, and as we see the things that you give us, we trusting tonight, we say, Lord, we know actually these things that you're giving us, we actually know we can't do it, and we're not saying that to be nice, we're saying that because we really know. And for some of us, it's quite scary, and I know for me it's quite scary what you're asking me to do. Father, but we do want to grow, Lord, and we do want our hearts to grow in their capacity. So we're saying, help us, Lord, help us, Holy Spirit. We say, you are the helper, and we're asking your help. And help us, Father, on this journey of obedience, and help us to make this decision and to follow through, and help us along the way, Father. And we want to increase our trust in you. We declare tonight that we trust you, that you're faithful, that when we do these things, we're saying we trust you because we're doing something that doesn't make sense in our own mind, or that we can't control or predict in our own minds. But we're saying tonight we trust you, and we want to grow in our trust for you. And we thank you, Father, that you made it possible through the cross, Lord. Through the cross, anything is possible. Through the cross, we have been saved, and that was impossible. But you made it possible, Lord. And we want to celebrate that tonight. And we want to celebrate your body, and we want to celebrate your blood, Father. And we don't want to look to our own efforts, but we want to look to you, Jesus, tonight. So let's just have communion together. And as you have communion, just spend some time with God and ask him to help you to take the step. Maybe he's going to ask you to be accountable to someone, to hold you to your decision. Maybe you need to write it down exactly what he's saying to you. You just talk to God where you are at. Amen. Okay, so just the last thing I want to share tonight, just following on from Marichan's sermon. something she said in the beginning. There's three scriptures there. We pause that. She was speaking about intimacy with God, and this what she said really struck me, and this is how God really convicted me. She said there's three things God speaks about. He says, firstly, I want to dwell in your midst. Then I want to meet with you, and then my glory will fill the temple. And as she was preaching, I was so convicted, and I realized that I dwell with God. What do I mean by that? I'm aware of his presence. I pray in tongues. I ask God things through my day. I think of praying. If someone asks me to pray, then I pray for them quickly. I pray for my children. You know, I think of God. I think of unsaved people. I'm away in the mall, maybe to pray for someone, etc. I have to grow in doing it. I think of it at least. but that's dwelling with God. But then God wants to meet with us. What is meeting with God? Meeting with God is a set time. It's a consecrated time. It's what we call quiet time, secret time. Meeting with God is certainly more than that, but it also includes that. And where we make a specific time to meet with him. And I asked a whole lot of people this week just to send me testimonies about their quiet time. You know, you can actually, on any Sunday, you can ask for people to put up their hand that struggle with quiet time. And if people are honest, you'll probably get a 70-80% response at least. Who has struggled with their quiet time? Okay, we have almost 100% response. why? Because the enemy doesn't want us to have it. Because when we meet with God, that's where we really consecrate ourselves to him, where he comes to speak to us, to change us. And I was so encouraged by many different testimonies that people shared. And for instance, just Anae shared with me now quickly before the service. She said she didn't really used to have quiet time. And then she wanted to more. And she said last Sunday? Yeah, she got a word in church. She came and shared with the tongue. And she said, is it the first time ever? The first time ever. Yeah, that she had a word in church for church. And the only difference between church before and church last week is that she had quiet time three times that week. And I said that, I was just feeling yes. And well done, Anae, for being honest. I think some of us would be like that and we won't say. But isn't that the reality, that often there's just so many things that keeps us from our quiet time? And I was really convicted, and I responded to God, and I fasted, and I really want to grow more and more in meeting with God. And I can make many excuses, and it certainly has gone up a level for me with having kids, because my time is pretty much out of my control. And it's so rare that there's a time where I'm not tending to both or either of them, that I'm so jealous of that time. But what better way to actually give it to God? But I need to grow more in that. And I'm reading a book, and I read this. Put that next slide. And it just, that's what I want to be. When I read that, my heart just leapt. Every now and then you ran slam dunk into a fresh vision of God's greatness, something unveiled somehow by someone from somewhere off the beaten path, pursued by so many. It's a special joy to meet such a seeker, one who has paid a quiet price and done the sacred time to see God's work for themselves with new eyes and a burning heart. History is rife with those who have faced the darkness of the soul and in their quest have come face to face with the only one who still carries a spotless future for our lost world. Who of you have met someone like that? Okay, a few of you. I think twice in my life I've really met someone like that, someone who's really like that. When you speak to someone, and it's just, there are a few people in my life where I always said, Raina, when I see them, I cry. When I just look at them, I cry, because they just look like Jesus to me. Their eyes are just so soft, and I don't know how to explain it. Tanya Manda is a lady in Standerton who's playing a role in my life. She's a woman of God, really been praying for like 60 years, and she's one of them. When I see her, I cry, because something in my spirit just knows that she's with God. The way she walks with him is just so incredibly evident. And that's before she said anything or did anything. It's just when I see her. And when I read that, then I feel like, that's what I want to be. You know, when you're young, you say, when I grow up, I want to be a fireman or a policeman. When I grow up, I want to be that person. So just to finish off tonight, we're going to do something practical quickly. If the ushers can maybe hand out those things. While they do that, I want to tell you guys about this poster in front of you. I saw this film this week, and it is incredible. Okay, as with any book, with any film, you know, nothing is ever the Bible. So I'm not saying you have to agree with everything in the film, but it's an anointed film, and it's really mind-shifting to see it. And I really want to encourage you to come, and I want to encourage you to invite people. It's a very engaging film. I really think you can invite people who are not Christians. They might find it quite radical. You will probably find it quite radical. but since we're all getting into being radical, it's good. But it's not Christianese, if you know what I mean. If you've seen Furious Love and Father Flight, you'll understand what I mean. He speaks. You don't have to know anything about Christianity to be able to appreciate the film. And I want to encourage you to come. It's really, for me, I cried through it, and I was stirred for what God wants to do. I felt like I glimpsed again what he's doing in the earth and in different countries. And I was really, I felt myself encouraged to again walk in that which God has for me. And, you know, even I said, Drano, that there's some evangelists in the film, not your usual kind of evangelists, quite different. If you guys know Todd White, who knows him? More that kind of evangelist. He's got long dreadlocks, and anyways, you'll see in the movie. There's a scene at a corn concert, I'll tell you that much. It's quite interesting. But I found myself really stirred again, just to walk in that which God has for me. So I want to encourage you to be there and invite people. Definitely, I would say invite, if you have Christian friends from other churches, or Christian friends who maybe not in a church, bring them. It's definitely a movie that impacts and bring unbelievers as well, and all your friends and your family, etc. And then quickly, the last thing we're going to do tonight, and it's quite a practical thing. If you look at those papers, the one that says to measure is to know, self-assessment. You can show the example up there, Antonio. Yeah, that's not... for real, I just made that up as an example. I want you to quickly fill that in. Okay, if you don't have a pen, put up your hand and Esty will lend you a pen. Okay, lend means you borrow it. It means if you leave, you have to give it back. Okay, so if you don't have a pen, put up your hand. Esty will get a pen to you. Yes, Kobe? Okay. And then you're quickly going to fill that in. And then no one's going to see it. I'm not going to take it up again. You'll put your name at the top and send it back, please. Just kidding. No one's going to see it, and you're not going to show it to the person next to you. I'm not going to do anything like that. It's purely for yourself. Okay, you're going to fill it in, and then it's just going to be for yourself to look at, and we're going to chat about it. So quickly take a minute to fill that in. For those of you who are quite perfectionistic, you don't have to go into endless detail or be very accurate, just more or less. Is it? I'm not sure how they made the pages. Not the prayer plan, the quiet time one. Yeah, for the last week, yeah. So if you, I think it starts on, yeah, that's Sunday, that's today. Okay, the one that says Saturday, that's yesterday. One that says Friday is this Friday, that's just past. So to me, it's logical to start with today, because you will remember if you had quiet time today. Then think if you had yesterday. If you don't remember, just write more or less what you think. And don't fill up the whole block and write lines and lines and lines. Just more or less. Okay, the rating is you rate your quiet time. I'm not going to tell you how. You just rate it 1 to 10. 1 is it was terrible. 10 is it was the best ever. Okay, that's a good question. I think it can be different for different people, so I don't want to make it too specific. It's for you. If you have a time in your day that you say, this time is for me and God, whatever you do in that time, it's that time. Does that make sense? Okay, so it can be very different for different people, and that's also why I said I don't actually like to call it quiet time, for because for most people it's not quiet, although it can be. But wherever in the day, once or more than once, or maybe not in a specific day, you have a time where that time is for you and God. And then also, as I said when I started, it was such a privilege for me to be in the sermon the other day with Marichen, as I had some people looking after the kids. And a few of you have said that you're keen to look after the kids. So what we've done is, what I've also had is I've had some people saying to me that they're keen to babysit or help with the kids in a service, but they're not used to kids, so they're not sure. They're willing, but they don't feel able. So what we've decided is, and Kubi has offered, so if there's anyone, and I can tell you this is a massive blessing if you do this for a mom, if you're willing for a service to sit in the mother's room with the baby or the toddler, and if you're willing to do it, give your name to Kubi, then we know we can ask Kubi who is there who's willing. And if you want to do it but you're not sure how, tell Kubi and she'll do it with you once. And you can see if it's something that you're able or maybe you feel comfortable or not. Also, I want to just commend the church. As I said, we're the village raising the children. And I said the other day, one of my friends is Philip and Janeta. They're the pastors in Pretoria. And I said to them, it's happened in our church that when a mom didn't have enough breast milk, some of the other moms donated to help her out. And it's also happened, people have done this for me a few times, and it's literally changed my life. When a kid's really sick or we're really going through a difficult time, there's been people in church who go to the house of a mom and take a baby through the night. And people have done that for me. They come to my house. It happened once when the kids were sick and Raina was away. People from church who work would come and stay the night so that I could sleep. And they would sit up with my baby, just bring to me for feeding, and then take the baby back. So that's quite a sacrificial thing to do. But before I had kids, I would have maybe been willing, but I would have been so freaked out by the idea because I didn't know babies at all. I had no idea what to do with the baby. So if there's someone who's willing, please let Kobe know and she'll be there after the service. And if there's someone who's willing but you feel unable, let Kobe know and you can do it with her once. And also just normal babysitting, just normal in the evening when maybe the moms and the dad wants to go on a date or want to come to a church activity. People have sometimes babysat for me so that I can go to a small group or to something, which is also a massive blessing. So anyone who's keen or willing or wanting to kind of train, please speak to Kobe. Okay, so I want to ask, if you look at what you filled in there, now that you've written it down, I trained as an industrial engineer. I used to be a business analyst, and we said to measure is to know. So in a company, if you look at their processes, the only way that you can know if they're doing well or not is you have to measure. You have to go and put in measurements, draw up the process, see how things work. And when you've measured it, you know if you're doing well or not. And then you also know, where are you doing well? If maybe you say, we're not doing well as a company. Why? Is the problem in this part of the process? Is it here? Is it with the production? Is it with the marketing? And that's what it means. To measure is to know. Okay, so for yourself, you've measured now, and you probably know a few things more now. So I want to know just a few comments. Now that you've written down a week's quiet time, what surprises you about what you've written down? Is what you see in front of you, if someone asked you, how's your quiet time in a week, is what you see in front of you what you would have answered without writing it down? Or is there anything that surprises you? Anyone who wants to share? Danielle? Okay, longer is not necessarily more effective. Yes, you know. Okay. Okay. She thought in her mind she had more quiet time, but now that she's written it down, it's not as much as she thought. Some more comments? Nothing? Okay. Okay. He says he doesn't know how long his quiet times were, which is actually fine. Also, your Stefan? Okay. He's looking back at his quiet time. He says the times when he was just reading Bible, it doesn't feel that effective if he didn't also speak to God and move from there. Someone else, there was someone here. Whose hand was it? Okay, one more. Okay, says when he looks back, the days when he had quiet time in the morning, you can see that those are the days that actually went well. Okay, so this is just for yourself. And if you do the Walking with Jesus book, you'll see in the back that it's a little bit different, but there's a whole lot of pages of blank tables like this where you can fill in. And the purpose of that is not to become condemned and not to strive. I want to say that tonight because we can easily go into that mode. We don't do things for God just to do them. But it's just to see what is really going on and to help us to think what would we want different and to ask God what would he want different. And I want to give us a quick glimpse just of some people in the Bible. And don't put it up yet. Just stay there. Who knows of people in the Bible that we actually know something about their quiet time? That it says something about how they had quiet time or when? Jesus? What does it say about Jesus? He went to the mountains. Stefan likes that. Don't. Moses? What about him? Okay, was meditating in tent, also went up the mountain. Ian? Daniel prayed 3 times a day. Lisa wanted to say that. Neil? Okay, so Daniel prayed 3 times a day and he refused to compromise even when threatened with death. Megan, what about David? He worshipped a lot. He was very real with God. You know, David, we have some of his quiet times documented. You can literally see what he prayed and how he spoke to God. Okay, so let's look at some of those scriptures. David, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud and he shall hear my voice. Okay, so it seems David also often prayed 3 times a day. Sorry, Stefan. And we also say that see that he prayed out loud so God could hear his voice. And that's something that I would recommend. It's made a big difference for me in my life to start praying out loud. Because, you know, when you pray in your mind, you often go into your thoughts. You often lose track, actually, and you just go down some path, or you fall asleep, especially if you're tired. So it's really made a big difference for me to pray out loud, and even to hear what I'm praying has helped me. Awake, harp and lyre, I will awaken the dawn. He says that twice, so David was up before the dawn, so as to awaken the dawn. Daniel's quiet time, it says 3 times a day he got down on his knees and prayed. Okay, so he prayed on his knees, just something interesting, and he prayed 3 times a day. We go to the next one, Jesus' quiet time. None of you mentioned that, or I think just Stefan said about the mountain. One of those days he went to the mountainside and he spent the night praying to God. Okay, so on a mountain the whole night. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went to a solitary place where he prayed. Early, very early, while it was still dark. And he went to a solitary place. He got somewhere where he could be alone with God. And there's obviously more scriptures. Just a bit of a glimpse on how some of the people we know from scripture, how they prayed. Then I've given you some things in that pack just to help. And I felt that we should just be really practical tonight. Because in a lot of ways, quiet time, secret time, it's a very practical, real thing. So now you know how to measure. Then what I've also given you there is a Bible plan. So for me, I've often in my Christian walk had times when I struggled to know what to read. Or I would start to, every morning, just open the Bible, but that only works so long. and if you've been in maybe Lamentations for too long, you can maybe get a little bit down, or some of the Psalms. But I definitely have times in my life where God shows me what to read. And, you know, sometimes you feel God says Isaiah 55. God seems to always give me Isaiah, or Psalm this, or Ephesians that. Or you just feel God says read the Gospels, and you know, okay, this season I must read the Gospels. But there's definitely been times in my walk with God where I didn't just know what to read. And this Bible schedule, you can show that there, Antonio. I've used it twice. I've gone through the whole thing twice. I've conveniently changed it so as to start tomorrow. For anyone who would like to follow it. This fits the Bible into a year. What I like about this schedule is that you don't start at the beginning and end at the end. Like you have to read Genesis for a month and then Exodus for a month. Because for me, when you get to Leviticus, that can be quite discouraging. But you read, they put some Old Testament, some Psalms or Proverbs, and some New Testament. So every day you get good diet of the Bible. And you can get through the whole Bible in a year. It's quite a lot. Both times that I did it, I found it to be quite a lot. Maybe I just don't read enough in general. But when you fall behind, it's like you have to take out a whole Saturday, actually, to catch it up. If you're like 2 or 3 days behind, it takes hours to catch it up. But I would say if you wanted to read the Bible, follow this. And even if you fall behind, just scratch out, you know, what you read and then ignore the dates and just go on, you know. If you're looking for something to guide you through the Bible, then this is a nice one. There are other ones on the internet which you can also find. Maybe you decide you want to read the Bible over 2 years. Then, you know, you just kind of estimate. You read half each day, and you just scratch as you go so that you know where you're at. But this is just something to help you. Another thing that I wanted to say just for reading the Bible, also to help you to meditate on Scripture, that means, and I did it practically last time, you take a Scripture, and you know, of course, there's some kinds of meditation that we're not too keen to get into, soulish meditation and those kind of things, but there is a godly kind of meditation, and that is where you take Scripture and you read, for instance, one Scripture over and over, because as you read it, and you can even say it out loud over and over and over, because as you do it, it kind of sinks into your mind and the Holy Spirit will show you things from it. That's scriptural meditation. You can also memorize Scripture. That's also a way to encourage your reading, is to decide that, you know, maybe one verse a day you'll memorize, or even one a week. It's also good, something which has often helped me in my reading the Bible. Not all Bibles have it, but a lot of Bibles have that column in the middle. And if you read, for each verse, it shows you where else in the Bible do they speak about this topic, or do they have similar verses. It's really nice to read, look up the connecting verses, and then go read that. It helps you to get to travel the Bible, to get to know, okay, it speaks about this part in Isaiah, but see here he also mentions it in Matthew. So how did this, what happened in Isaiah, how did this become real in Matthew? And find yourself a Bible that has that if you don't, and if you want to do that, or look for eSword or one of those on the internet. What's also helped me a lot is to sometimes research a topic. So many years ago, I got filled with the Holy Spirit, and I was speaking to a lot of people about it, and people kept on challenging me about the validity of being filled with the Holy Spirit. So I realized that, and at some point, they were making me doubt. I was filled with the Spirit, but I even doubted whether it could really happen or if it was biblical. And I decided the only thing I can do is I'm going to go to the internet and I'm going to take a Bible and I'm going to Google Holy Spirit or Spirit, or the, you know, the Hebrew word. Esau is very nice for that. And I'm going to read every single scripture in the Bible about it. And then I decided, like, I'm going to go through the Gospels and Acts, and I'm going to see every time someone got filled with Holy Spirit what happened. So I did that over time, maybe a month or two. And to this day, I cannot tell you what that has meant for me. I haven't done that often in my life. There's not many topics that I can say I did that. The Holy Spirit is one where I did it. But I am rock solid convinced about the work of the Holy Spirit. I've researched it, and I know from the Word what it says. I know how many, I can tell you now, Acts 19, very good example of someone being filled with the Spirit. I can tell you where the different verses are. I can tell you that in 1 Thessalonians 5 is where it says about pray always. I can tell you that in Jude 21, it's where it says that prayer in the Spirit is gymming for your spirit. It strengthens your spirit. It's just ingrained in my mind because I took the time to look it up. And since then, if someone asks me something, I can normally answer it because I've taken the time to look it up. So maybe if there's something that's particularly of interest to you, or something that God highlights to you, you can go and research that in the Bible and look up all the different verses around it. amazing what God shows you when you do that. It's always good to be focused on Jesus when you read the word. Very good question to always ask God. It's, what does this say about Jesus? That's always helpful about a passage. And also good to ask God questions when you read the word. You know, read a scripture, and if it doesn't make sense to you, instead of quickly SMSing your friend or your small group leader, ask God. Lord, I just read this. What do you mean by that? You know, this has often happened to me when I read, for instance, Jeremiah. It's death and destruction. And, there's a part of me that's tempted to go, let's just ignore that chapter. Let's just continue. I'm not going to think about that because I don't like how that makes God look. I don't like how that makes me feel. But why can I just not stop and ask God? Say, Lord, what is the relevance of this today? What are you speaking to me? Why was it like that? And the last thing there is a prayer plan. So a few years ago, someone spoke about this, and I can say that it's also something that's really revolutionized my quiet time. And I was in two minds as to whether to give you one or not, because I think it can be so different that I'm a bit hesitant to give you something. But I did put a whole lot of empty lines at the bottom because you can scratch out some of those. Because it's really a personal thing as to how you structure your prayer life. But someone said to me, you know, that the most helpful thing they found for people who struggle to pray consistently is a prayer plan, you know, nothing heavy spiritual, quite practical actually, where you plan what you think you should be praying for in a week and you just put it out over a week. So, you know, one of two things happened to me. The one is, I need to pray for Reino, Malaya, even Aiden. My family, Reino's family. The leaders in church, the members in church, our leaders, the Shofar movement. I want to pray for UCT. I want to pray for Cape Town. I want to pray for South Africa. I want to pray for Israel. I want to pray for the politics. I want to pray for revival. I want to pray for me. I want to hear what God is saying for my role in my life and my calling. I have a few accountability partners. I want to pray for them. I have a few people that I'm discipling. I want to pray for them. Now, when I go sit down to pray, and I think of that, then one of two things happen. I get overwhelmed, and sometimes then I don't pray because I'm just like, or I pray for one or two, and by the end of the week, I just constantly feel like I never prayed for what I was supposed to pray for. Of course, we should come to God, not with lists. We should come to God, praise Him, seek His presence, and let Him guide you. By all means, do that. It's wonderful. But it's also helped me to have this bit of discipline of writing it down. Okay, so this is for me. I put down how I like to do it is Malaya one day, Evan Aiden, you know, for instance, Malaya on a Sunday, Evan Aiden on a Tuesday, Raina on a Wednesday, my mom and dad on a Thursday, Raina's mom and dad on a Friday. Okay, then I have a certain amount of unsafe people that I pray for. One on a Monday, one on a Tuesday, one on a Wednesday, one on a Thursday, etc. So I've got this thing on my cupboard in my room. And the one I currently have is actually quite outdated, but I will update it. And then I just write, I add, just, you know, it's quite unneat, but whatever, I just write there. And if there's someone new that I'm praying for, I just add them. And for me, I don't every day pray according to that list. But it's up there. And if I don't know what to pray, then I look at it. And sometimes by the end of the week, I just kind of scan if I've prayed for what I actually wanted to pray for. And I've really felt it's so helpful. So it's just something, if it's going to help you, use it. If it's not going to help you, don't use it. It's not a condemnation tick list. It's just a guide that I found to help me. Okay, and then I want to specifically pray for us. So let's all stand, if the band can come down. There's two things that I feel for us to pray for. The one thing is, and it's so amazing what specifically happened to me, and it's a lot of things I want to share, but let's share the one thing. Just last week, we prayed for Andrea, Kenny and Fia's little girl. She had croup, which is quite a terrible sickness for a baby. And then the next day, Malaya and Evan Aiden got sick, and then one by one, all the kids got sick, and we have a little group, all the moms, and we were all praying. And my first thought when the kids got sick, it's really terrible when kids are sick, because they don't sleep, so you don't sleep, then you get sick because you get it from them. and they need comforting 24/7 because they're not old enough to. They don't just go lie down until they feel better. They want to be in your arms until they feel better. So it can be quite a trying time. So my first thought was, oh no, and I just already feel tired when it starts. And then I started to pray for Andrea, and I started to pray, even as I was praying, I suddenly had this urge in me. I had this feeling of, no, we're not going to let the kids be sick in Jesus' name, no. No, Jesus died on the cross, not going to settle for this. And that is a part of who I am, is to fight for what's right, and in a spiritual sense. And this circumstance, again, drove that out of me. The feeling that I had was, I remembered who I am, if that makes sense to you. And that's what I want to pray for us tonight. I sense as we start again to engage with God, as we start meeting with God again, and I'm going to pray for all of us for that grace to meet with Him. And I neglected to say that, but in God saying that He's giving some of us radical things to do, the good news that I want to give you is He's giving us the grace for it. Okay, when God asks us something radical, He gives us the grace to be able to do it. So He's not standing there waiting for us just to do it. You know, He's not kind of saying, get in line. He's saying, here I am, I'm enabling you. I want to help you grow. So I really believe it's a special grace God is giving to us for those things. But I believe also as we start more meeting with God, this is, I believe, what God wants to do. He wants each of us to remember who we are. And some of us will find out who we are. You'll find, you know, certain things about your spiritual makeup. You know, certain things about what stirs you. What are you passionate about? What do you fight for in the kingdom? What is your role in the kingdom, in the body of Christ? And I believe that the more we meet with God, the more that will be stirred up. And we'll even discover who we are. So let's all pray. And if you want to, in any way, trust God to increase and expand your time with Him, just put up your hand and just, in your heart, let's just agree with me. And Father, we say, Lord, we know it's just the most important thing. God, and we want to repent tonight of everything that we've put ahead of just time with You. And every decision we've made that limited or cancelled our time with You. And we repent of just our comfort being so important to us, Lord. Our sleep, our time. We repent of just being controlling of our time. We just repent, Father, of things that we've put ahead of You. And we say tonight, Lord, and I really sense that this is our communal heart cry tonight. Is we want to be better at it. We want to meet with You more. As You're coming to dwell with us, we also want to meet with You, Lord, until we get to that place where Your glory fills the temple. I sense, Lord, that this is our communal cry from each heart tonight, is we want our hearts to be expanded. We confess tonight sometimes we are afraid, Lord. We confess tonight we are unable. We confess tonight sometimes we are lazy. We confess tonight sometimes we feel ashamed. We feel that we don't make it. We don't make the bar. We don't make the standard that You have for us. But we choose to walk in a freedom tonight, Lord, not to just do things for You, but to respond in freedom and from a place of love. God, and I thank You for a grace tonight for each of us to expand our hearts, Lord, as we step into that which You ask us to do, and also as we step into that place of meeting with You regularly, Lord, setting aside that time. Father, and we want to make that commitment in our heart tonight. And we thank You, Holy Spirit, that You enable us to walk it through. And I pray tonight for each one of us, Lord, to remember who we are, Lord, and to remember where we fit into this body, God. And I thank You for people even who don't know that they will discover who they are, Father, and that we would walk in that passion that You've given each one of us, regardless of challenges, and sometimes because of challenges, that help to force us into that place, that help us to step into that place of becoming who we are, of remembering what we stand for. And Father, we thank you for that. We say tonight that we don't trust in ourselves as we've had the communion. We say tonight we trust in the cross of Christ. And we thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I think let's worship another song. What are you doing, the cross? Okay, we will worship another song. If you're in a hurry, then you're welcome to go. Thank you for joining with us tonight, and we're expecting great things from what God is doing.